I have a question here from Raja Kumar Das in Brazil, who's referring to a previous podcast wherein I made the statement that although sannyas is given traditionally to Brahmins, but are all of our sannyasis and gurus all Brahmins, and that I said that I wouldn't want to argue in favor of that point, but then I say that they're brahminical, but that doesn't necessarily make them Brahmins. So he wants to understand, what does this mean, that someone's brahminical but they're not necessarily Brahmins? In short, it means that someone has some brahminical qualifications, but it doesn't but they don't have all brahminical qualifications. Let's just really consider, for instance, sannyas in ISKCON. What is the main purpose of sannyas? Whereas in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about renunciation, and in Varnashram, sannyas is something that's taken at the end of life, generally speaking. In ISKCON, sannyas isn't really about being socially dead, but it's about social interaction. It can be taken before the last phase of life, the last quarter of life, and that is because its purpose is preaching. Its purpose is to get individuals to dedicate themselves to spreading Krishna consciousness, preaching Krishna consciousness, and not be distracted by any type of other responsibilities, family duties. So, and that preaching is, in that sense, the essence of being a Brahmin. Because what is the duty of a Brahmin? A Brahmin Yajan, Yajan, Jnana, Pratigya, his main duty is teaching. And the essence of teaching is to make people Krishna conscious. So, in that sense, our sannyasis, ISKCON sannyasis, are very much presenting the essence of brahminical life, because they've dedicated their whole lives to preaching. On the other hand, if you look at the qualities of a Brahmin, dvisadgunadharavindanaba, there are 12 qualities in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna gives samodamastapasocham, shanti marajam eva cha. These describe the actual qualities of a full-fledged Brahmin, all the brahminical qualities. We may find that our sannyasis don't necessarily reflect all of these qualities, that whereas they're great preachers, great devotees, inspirational personalities, they may not, because of their lack of culture and brahminical tradition and raising, how they were actually raised. Take, for instance, socham, cleanliness. I have experience of past, present, of sannyasis who don't have such a high standard of cleanliness. Let's put it this way, not a brahminical standard. They don't keep themselves or their personal possessions in such a neat state, room. They don't necessarily wash their feet and mouths after eating, or so many other things that a Brahmin would do. And I'm not talking about fanatical things, but just reasonable things, brahminical standards of cleanliness. So in that sense, they're not very brahminical. It may even be that a sannyasi, although the business of a Brahmin, jnana pratigya, is to be learned and to be realized, to study scripture, we may find that sometimes sannyasis may not be excessively learned. They know enough to inspire themselves in Krishna consciousness, to keep themselves Krishna conscious, to inspire others to become Krishna conscious. they know the basic sambandhagyan or philosophy, but it's somewhat limited. Srila Prabhupada points out that there are different types of brahmanas. He says that there are first class, second class, third class. There are those brahmins who are very learned, and then there are those brahmins who are not very learned, but they're born in a brahmin family, and they have other brahminical qualities. So sometimes we may find that there are sannyasis who are also like that. So they have some of the qualities of Brahmins, but they don't have all the qualities. Or if they have all the qualities, they don't manifest the qualities to the extent, full extent, that they would be expected. So in that sense, I use the word Brahminical. Another example I can give, for instance, was that in the early days of Krishna consciousness, I remember some devotees who would explain how they were Kshatriyas because they liked fighting. Now, whereas heroism and fighting ability is one of the qualities of a Kshatriya, you're not necessarily a Kshatriya just because you like to squabble with other people, or just because you like to be in a fight. That may be a Kshatriya quality, it may be Kshatriya bull, or it may be one of the qualities of a Kshatriya, but it doesn't really necessarily mean that you're an inspirational leader. It doesn't mean that you really give protection to others. It doesn't even necessarily mean that you're greatly heroic or that you're even charitable. So just fighting doesn't necessarily make you a Kshatriya. So in the same way. And it should be said that in Kali Yuga, it is understood that none of the Varnas and none of the Ashramas are, at least the people who are situated in the Varnas and Ashramas, they're not clean cut. No one is really a pure Kshatriya, a pure Brahmin, because things are mixed in Kali Yuga. Therefore you will find that these qualities are also combined. And that's why we put so much emphasis on Yajna Sankirtana Prayer. Because the Sankirtan Yajna, it bridges all of these other things. It gives empowerment for one to do the service of a Brahmin, the service of a sannyasi, the service of a leader, and so many other things. And whatever is lacking, Yoga Kshema Bahamyam, in terms of achieving benefit or blessing by the Lord by perfectly following social orders and spiritual orders of life, that's compensated for by the offenses chanting of the holy name. And that's therefore the underlying thrust of Krishna consciousness. Harinamayiva Kevalam. And happy Ram Navami, everybody.